Proverbs 17:30, and we're going to read a couple of verses out of Proverbs. I'm going to wait for you to get there. Proverbs 17:3. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. It says the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the hearts. I want to go to one more, 25:4. Proverbs 25:4, somewhat similar. 25:4, where it says, take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. And where I want to kind of begin today is basically when you are looking at even this first verse about how God refines us, how God shakes us, how God changes us. The writer is giving a view of the refining pot, and in those days that would have been really common because you refine gold, you refine silver by boiling it, and out comes the dross, and out comes the impurity, and out comes everything that needs to come out. But when it says, but the Lord tests the heart, people many times don't understand that when a writer is giving a comparison like this and saying the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. It's a whole, God's dealings are deeper. God's dealings are hotter. God's shaking is more exact. God's ability to purify you, to grow you into the image of Messiah is this way. When you read something like that and you see it's very fitting to have the furnace for the gold and the refining pot for the silver, so it is totally fitting. Totally fitting. It's the Lord testing our hearts. I don't know how you deal with tests, because I'm going to be honest with you. There are tests that I'm going to come to, and refining God is going to do in me, and I'm going to have tests that show good things. I'm going to have tests that show bad things. I'm going to have tests that reveal things I need to work on. God's going to burn out impurities. He's going to burn out junk. I read these two scriptures as I was reading and working on the notes for today out of Hebrews 12:25. And I want you to go there with me. We're going to read that. And I usually don't do like three scriptures to start off, but I want to just, I'm covering a little bit of an area here about the refining of God and also the shaking of God. How many of you know that even this earth groans, waiting to be delivered, liberated, where the eternal swallows up the mortal? God is shaking. See, there's a lot going in this earth right now, guys, and understand that. And a lot of stuff is challenging. But God is shaking the system. He's shaking the world. He's shaking his people. I would be more concerned with God not shaking. I would be more concerned with the Lord not shaking me. I would be more concerned if it said judgment doesn't start in the house of the Lord than that it does. Verses 25 through 29 in Hebrews, and we're going to go there. Verses 25 through 12, we're going to 12, 25 through 29. And I just want to put a little context, because context can be really important. I don't know if you understand it. I've told you about even when you're translating Hebrew or Greek, specifically Greek, and it's a funny language because if you do etymologies of Greek, it has evolved 1,000 times since the writing of the New Testament. Hebrew, not surprising, hasn't evolved rarely at all. That's awesome that it stayed the same. But in the chapter of 12, it's talking about a cloud of witnesses to inspire us to run the race that we've been given. It's talking secondarily about a father's discipline, all right? Then it talks about the strengthening, strengthening the weak hands and the knees that are feeble. And then it talks about the contrast between Sinai and Mount Zion. And actually, let's read even in 18. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. And then after all this, the writer says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. The expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Our God is a consuming fire. I've heard people say many times, with the way of the earth and the way of the Lord in the earth and the way of the Lord with his people, that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And everything that cannot hang on, that's temporal, will come off. And the interesting thing about the body that we are a part of today, and I'm looking at some of this stuff and I'm realizing that things shake. How many here can relate when you have had a shaking in your life and things began to fall off? I'm talking when you were a believer. I'm not even talking previous to being a believer, because when you're not a believer, your life is your own. Your worries are your own, and you try to lose nothing and you try to gain what you want. But in the Lord, it's different, because I come to the Lord and he's going to grow me and he's going to shape me. And part of that is he's going to shake me so that temporal things fall off, so that things that are not needed fall off. Do you know sometimes we're in the midst of a shaking in our spirit? We're in the midst of the dross coming out of the silver and the gold being purified. And it feels bad. It feels nasty. We're in pain with it sometimes. You know, I came to the Lord and I went off to that freshman year at Bethel, and I was reading my Bible and I was so charged, Barbara, about my life. Armand, I was so charged about where I was going. I wasn't getting high anymore. I was straight. The Lord was changing me, and it was drastic. I was so happy. I was so full of joy, and it was all good. Nothing bad could happen because I knew the Lord now. And that was true, but it wasn't true. And then as a son, the Lord took me, and he put me under the rod. And as a son, the Lord began to shake my life, because as I came to the into the body, I had all these things connected to me. And the Lord says, I love Mike, and I'm going to shake Mike. And I'm going to remove the dross, and I'm going to remove the silver. The dross from the silver, I'm going to make he's going to new fine gold. And he began to shake my life. And things began to come off. Some things I didn't care about. Other things I did. And I would love to tell you that as the shaking began in me and the purify began in me, I would love to tell you I was, singing in the key of G, hallelujah, or E minor, and I was telling the Lord how awesome he was. I wept. Sometimes I was trying to grab a hold of things that he was trying to shake off, and I was trying to, mine, it's all mine. And a shaking began to go on that Mike Cipella needed. Are you with me, guys? A shaking began to occur. We go through shaking. Everything is shaking. In fact, here, he is going to shake the earth. In fact, not only going to shake the earth, we are going to have a new heaven, and we're going to have a new earth. But he also is shaking the heavens. God never will leave us unshaken. He will never leave us unrefined. He will never stop taking the dross out of the silver. He will never stop growing you. You look in Romans 8, it says, we are being conformed to the image of Christ, of Messiah. We are being conformed. But listen, the fact of the matter, when Mike Cipolla was a session player and a partier and a womanizer got saved, the Lord was going to start shaking. And he didn't tell me this in the beginning. In fact, I was hearing this stuff off the pulpits like, you're gods now. It's all good. You're gods. The favor of God is upon you. And I remember really stuff falling off and relationships and things and possessions. And I remember thinking something was wrong. Barbara, it didn't make sense. I was in pain now. There's things I cared about that fell off. And I remember just sitting and going, wow. And then I remember opening Hebrews and understanding that in the future the earth will be shaken, it'll be reformed, it'll be shaped, it'll be burned. And I remember reading how judgment begins in the house of God and how I was being conformed to the image. And then it dawned on me, light bulb went on, it said, oh, wait a minute. God shakes his people. And as I came in, I had enough baggage to fill the old hair hanger. And the Lord said, I love you. I'm going to embrace you right now. And as I embrace you, I'm going to shake you. And things are going to start pulling. You ever see the thing where somebody steals something and the guy goes, give it back. And the guy goes, what? And he grabs him by the ankles and he tips him upside down. And like this pile falls on the floor. And the guy goes, oh, that. God shakes religion. He does. He shakes it. He shakes the foundations of man. He shakes man's false perceptions about the very Father. He shakes the ambiguity. Because right now, one thing that Jesus walked around doing a lot was explaining the Father. And many times people misunderstood the Father. And Jesus clarified. In fact, if you're walking with the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, he is never going to walk in you, through you, and to others by blurring who the Father is, by making the identity of the Father sketchy or ambiguous. In many ways, we are seeing the clarity of God's standing amongst the distortion of many who try to distort the Father. There's no doubt. You know, I love when I hear a preacher, and after I listen to him for 20 minutes, I'm more confused about who God is than I did when I started this sermon. Seriously. The world is shaking. It's not all bad either. Did you know that? Do you know it says there will be wars and rumors of wars, and it says even in the end times that men's heart will faint from fear at the things which are coming. But as God starts shaking this earth, I really believe the people of God are feeling a shaking. Some of it feels good. Some of it feels bad. Things are coming off of us. And we're saying, no, no, not that, God. I don't. I need that. No, Lord, that wasn't hurting me. And I was I really counted on that, Lord. In fact, what kind of father are you? Why are you shaking that off? That's been my pet for a decade. By nature, when God shakes his people, when he purifies his people, by nature, your faith is unshakable. Did you really know that? You know what's interesting? How when we are in trials, we go, I don't know if I can stay with the Lord through this. The fact is, your walk in the Lord, who you are, that is actually the one thing that technically cannot be shaken. If I were a spiritual chemistry teacher, I would tell you that your eternal faith, when you're shaking, is not the thing that's shaking. Isn't it odd? Do you know when a man is shaken? In fact, Jay, you had no idea I was going here, but it's a great example you got. That man's being shaken. He started to work 3 weeks ago. Boy, Pastor Dave, try that one on 3 weeks. Me and you, we've been at this a long time. I hear something like that. I understand it, okay? I'm not making fun of him. But I can't help but to last. He should try our shoes on. And I say because my brother here, he is faithful, and I love to see men that can build a boat on dry ground for 100 years. It's a character quality that's biblical in its nature, biblical in its portion. But I think about what's being shaken, and here's what he doesn't realize, Jay, if you get a chance to talk to him. What's being shaken off him? By God. God's actually shaking him. I mean, he might not know this. He thinks he's being discouraged. God's trying to shake his unbelief off him. Now, to him, he's discouraged, and that's why he's quitting. But it's unbelief that causes men, when they start something of God, And that's assuming it's of God. I know that I heard my pastor once say, some were sent, some just went. I get that. But we get into a situation, and the Lord's trying to shake our unbelief. He's trying to shake our lack of faith. He's trying to also firm up, because when things shake, two things happen. The things that can't hang on will fall off. The things that are meant to hang on will tighten up. This is why in the fire, believers are actually come out refined. Because when you stick a believer in the fire, they aren't wrecked and their faith isn't destroyed and they're not shipwrecked. So the two things that shake when God begins to shake me is the things that should be falling off start to fall off. The things that cannot hang on with the shaking of God are meant to drop off, they fall off. Do you realize when you start a work and a congregation, unbelief is one of the worst, nastiest things? When you have a marriage in Christ, unbelief, or there's all kinds of stuff that gets in there that needs to come off. I called it the baptism of fire. When you start a work, you go through a fire. And you actually go, you know, stuff is coming against the Lord. Sometimes it's true, but there's a part of God shaking. It's you can actually misunderstand it, where he's like, you know what? These components, I need to shake these off of you if you're going to be useful to me in ministry. Sometimes we are gripping what God is tearing away. But when God shakes your life, and I could probably interview every one of you, and you can give me a season and say, I had this time. You may be sitting here right now and going, I am being shaken now. Many times our faith can get strained, but understand something about this. It's greatly misunderstood. Our faith is getting shaken because there's unbelief in there. It's not the faith that's getting strained. It's our perception of the faith. It's our misperception. How distorted do you hear the name of the Lord? It's so funny nowadays. Because the Lord is definitely shaking off the false premise that man has about the Father. The Lord is shaking off variants of bad versions of being Christian. The Lord is shaking off your life, that which cannot go the journey with you as a believer. He's shaking it off. I lost things that I really cared for as the shaking went on in my life early. You lose things that you think you need when God shakes you. But if the Lord didn't allow you to be shaken, you would be a mix of eternal and temporal things that were contradictive to each other, many times problematic to your very existence as a believer. So I don't want us to be scared of shaking. And when God is truly shaking, he's going to shake junk. Now, does that mean God always shakes only things that are evil? Not necessarily. God shakes things sometimes that are just not profitable. What did Paul say? All things, he had a liberty to do all things, and that doesn't mean radical wickedness, but he said some things are not expedient. They're not good for me. I could bring up three words of things. I mean, let's look at certain things in our life, and we go, that is not necessarily evil, but it makes me very unfruitful. And God says, I got to shake that off. That thing actually hinders him. I got to shake that off, Mike. If he didn't allow you to be shaken, you would be a mixture of a great deal of things that shouldn't mix. I never forget in back in 82, and I just remember the pain and the shaking and the things that fall off. But here's the other secret. Nobody gave me that memo, and I wasn't mad at people. Because I was told if you're with God, all things are good. Bluebird of happiness is in the window. The sun always rises in the east, which is still true. And I generally will never feel discouraged. Now, you're going to say, Mike, did you really? Was somebody that stupid? Well, I guess I was hanging around with stupid people. I don't know. But I was always given good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. Yeah, tell me about that one. Reed Fox's Book of Martyrs didn't work out real good. But I remember just as a child, when the Lord wanted to shake, he's shaking things in me. And there are things, because I'm so young in the Lord, some of it I didn't even understand. It was agonizing. You know, it's interesting. I've had my children. I've had four children. And I think of when Bethany, and I always bring this one to mind, when she tried to stick the screwdriver in the power socket. Now I'm her dad. To her, it's a hole. She has this thing. And somehow it looks like it belongs in that. Well, to me, I'm thinking, I don't think I want you to stick that into the socket. It'd be a shocking experience, could even kill you. So as I'm grabbing it, I'm like, she's fighting it. In her mind, this thing, it's elongated and it's got a point and it goes in the hole. Me, I'm going, that's 210. No, actually, I think it was 120, Jim. You could tell me that one. But regardless, if you're a 15-month-old child, not a good combination. And I'm trying to get it, and she's fighting it. And I always tell about how when I told her no, how she complied with me. And this is where I realized that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child really well. She's so little, she's crawling. She has a screwdriver I left on the floor, which Anna says, you shouldn't have left it there. She's right. And I say, no, Bethany. And so she stops because her dad says no. And she backs up against the wall and takes a screwdriver off the floor, and behind her back, she's trying to put it in there. And I went, wow, foolishness is sneaking. Now, Bethany couldn't speak, so she couldn't tell me I'm lying, Dad. But watching that was an eye-opener, because it was folly. She was attempting to say, yes, Dad, and with the back of her hand, you know, put the screwdriver back in there. Here's the deal. I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 here in this room today, or 80 or 90. The fact of the matter is, the Father in heaven understands so much more than I do. I'm 54. My wife just reminded me, because I told somebody I was 53. She said, no, honey, you're 54 going on 55. I expected her to say, and you're dying, and you're going to be dead. You know, it was really heavy when she said that. I'm like, I'm 50. Don't, honey, you're 54. Well, there you go. I'm getting really old because I can't even remember how old I actually am. But I think about when the Lord does things in my life to this day. It doesn't matter whether I'm 54 or 60 or 70 or 80. The Father is still more intelligent, obviously. The Father still knows things I don't know. The Father will still grab things at times while I go, oh, I don't want to give that. That's really good. And the Lord's shaking my life and saying, you know, not really, not from my view. Because from heaven, it looks different to me. And being the creator of the universe, I definitely have an upper hand in the intelligence department. And you don't even understand, because you're my son, you're my child. And sometimes even like a baby, I'm grabbing something out of your hand, you don't even understand the implications. You will in the future. Today, maybe you'll have to just trust me on that. So I think about the experience of shaking and the things that sometimes God wants to let go. And then I think about the phenomena, and as a pastor, I've seen this a lot. Why do we Christians, and I'm putting myself at times, why do we cling so hard to sometimes things that God so needs to shake off? We hide it. We defend it. We don't want anybody, not even God, taking it away. But if God, creator of the universe, maker of all things, he has the credentials to say, I'm shaking that off. Don't quit clinging. Don't hold the knife. Don't hold the screwdriver. I've seen little kids one time grab a knife. Now, that can be hazard way quicker than the screwdriver, because if they just swing it around a few ways, funny until somebody loses an eye. And sometimes we just don't know. But what is it that we grip so hard to things that we know may be questionable? What if we have an idol? What if we have a compartmentalized immorality? Whatever the case is. To this day, I go, Father, it is so funny how when I was a young believer, and I'll put this one thing I am saying, young, I gripped things that were so bad for me. And you needed them gone. In fact, I feared you would take certain things away because in my mind, they were so good. That's actually a weird thing. Did you know that? I'm not calling you weird. I'll call myself weird. But that was an odd thing. Now, part of the maturing we're doing is that when God is trying to take and shake things in our life, and he shakes it, and you see things falling off that don't need to be there, as we grow older, we should, and I believe we can, say, I recognize that needs to go. It hurts. Maybe I like it. Maybe it's just not profitable. Maybe it's not a thing of evil, but it's really not to be in my life right now. And many times we're grabbing a hold of things that we shouldn't. My thing is, as God shakes the church, as God shakes the congregation in America, as God shakes this nation, the shaking's going to go across the lines. Yes, he'll shake the nations. Yes, he will judge the wicked. He will judge the righteous as well. And what I'm wondering is, do we understand it? Do you know when God's shaking your life? Do you know the signs? Do you understand there might be something he's just trying to shake off? You know what the Lord showed me about myself? And I don't know about you. But obviously, one of the things in me is I could be doubtful. And doubt is an enemy. It's not a weakness. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Doubt and unbelief is a sin. The Bible doesn't call it a weakness. It calls it a sin. It's a sin of unbelief. It's not a weakness of unbelief. And the reason I'm saying that, I've dealt and wrestled with unbelief plenty of times. And when I would get into these situations, it hurt so bad because I couldn't see how God could do this. And it would trouble me, and I'd want to strive and make it my own. And I'll never forget the Lord came to me, and I was just in agony. And I was telling the Lord how my situation hurt so bad because this didn't happen, and I needed this, and I was afraid this wouldn't happen. And he said, the only thing that's hurting right now is your unbelief, Mike. He said, you're misidentifying it. You think it's the situation that's trying your faith? It's your doubt that's crying out, not your belief. I'm trying to shake it off you. And you're clinging to it because you like control. And even when you're over your head and you're at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army at your back, you're clinging to the sense of your own strength, the sense of your own control. And the only thing that is fearful is that, Mike. He said, there's no pain in faith. There's no peril in faith. When you trust me, there's peace. You know, I think about Paul, 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read it real quick. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But he said, when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And I think about Paul killing Christians. I think about Paul as a non-believer holding cloaks as a stone Stephen. And I think about him getting born again and his eyes were open. But I also think about Paul growing 14 years in Saudi Arabia before he even showed up on the scene. And I understand that God had to grow Paul, and God had to develop Paul, and God had to just transform Paul. How many things shook off that he was comfortable with? How many times did Paul take great pride in who he was versus who God wanted him to be? How many times did God have to shake a lot of things off? God shakes off childish things. Did you know that? Immature things, things that will hurt you in the knowledge of God. He shakes them off. He doesn't want you carrying them. He shakes off ignorance in areas that you need to understand the Father more greatly that you don't. Think about this. For a believer, the need to trust the Lord in all things is so critical. And yet we in our own human flesh will so many times distrust God. That's why we hide things. That's why we hide areas. That's why we do in our own steam, thinking we're going to accomplish an actual godly result by our own hand. God likes to shake that stuff off. He doesn't need it. He doesn't care about it. He's not interested in that. God wants to shake off the things that need to fall off you. In the last year, in the last 2 years, how many things have come off? Things that you, have you ever had something come off that, you know, that you simply would not let go, and so God forced the issue? Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are times, and I've seen it, where God shakes things off that are killing us. We will not let them go. I've had God force issues in my hand. Whether it was an income stream, whether it was a job, this, or a comfort that was really in the wrong thing, and he just shakes it off. And we will agonize and try to grab it back. And God says, no, you know what? You're trusting yourself. I'm going to shake your life. I need you to trust me. And apparently this part, you're not really willing to deal. You're willing to deal with, but not. You're not going to make any big moves. So here we go. Whoosh, there goes that. Whoosh, there goes that. Whoosh, there goes the job. There goes the income stream. There goes this. The comforts, things you used to get little comfort in, whoosh, they're gone. Because I want you to be comforted in me. I want you to take faith in me. This is where we stand many times as believers. God is shaking. And even right now, you look and I hear, you know, people like saying, the economy's sinking and this is happening. And what about the blood moons? And I'm like, oh, gosh, if I hear this one more time, I'm going to fall over. I always tell people, if you're in the Jewish community, they're like not seeing that quite as you think they would be. So trust me on that. I have the inside straight there. God will also shake things that beset you. Did you ever see something that's in your life as a believer and it absolutely is hurting your walk? See, when I got saved, I wanted all my bad friends to become good friends in Christ. I wanted all my romantic relationships to get them saved. I wanted a whole lot of things, and the Lord said, none of that is going to work, Mike. Now, I'm going to shake it, and you're going to lose it, and you're going to think the world is crumbling. But in the future, those items against that wall, none of those would do. So I'm going to do you a favor, and I'm going to shut them, all of them. You're going to fight me on that. You're going to try to resurrect it and put a Christian name on it, but it's going. Because you'll never reach the potential for me with that in the picture. You know, it talks about our God being a consuming fire, and this is the thing I want you to understand. One of the aspects of the Father is that he is a consuming fire. We worship, you know, with service, with reverence, and awe. We are all his. Can you ever hold a fire that won't burn something? See, this is the part where I talked about early on that God shakes the false precepts or the false impressions we have of the Father. There are so many people. I know people, their Jesus is, I've told this before, they can smoke dope, that their Jesus is good with that. They can live in absolute sin, fornication, their Jesus is good with that. Well, wrong Jesus, but just the same. You can say that all you want. I've heard people explaining a Jesus to me that they say they serve that is no way the Messiah. Not the one in the Bible. And you know, God does something to that. He shakes that false perception. He shakes it. He shakes it. He shakes it. He shakes it. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire burns things away that can be burnt, and then eternal things will not be burnt. You know what's funny? When you think of gold being the standard of God and representing his perfection, and you think of how he dwells in us through the Spirit, you start to understand that even as there's a consuming fire even in the believer, it burns things away. It's meant to. I thank God that he's a consuming fire. And he's given us this guarantee. Your mind, Mike, no matter how I shake you, the things that fall off weren't supposed to be there, okay? No matter how I shake you. So if I'm shaking you and it's coming off, it needs to. And don't try to cling to stuff, you know what I mean? As it's coming off, don't try to grab the little balls and put them back in your pockets. Let them go. It's interesting, as I told you, that one of the things God shakes in me is my doubt, my striving. The part in myself to where I want to help God in areas that only God himself can actually do. I want you to think about something as we close today. What's the shaking doing to you right now? What are you losing? With a lot of believers, I have them, comfort zones, you know what I mean? I'm one of these guys. In fact, Tommy said this really best. He said, Mike, I know your prayer is to build a boat on dry ground for 100 years. But I know the part of the other part is that you will not stand by the boat after the flood comes. And I know part of that is when the 120 years is done, you will get in it and float away. I'm a bit of an addict to sameness. Does that make sense to you guys? I can go to a restaurant. In fact, the woman brought this up, Nuevo León, my favorite restaurant, cockroaches and all. And it's a Mexican restaurant. And I've went there all my life. And I remember, I didn't know it. You're going to say, waitresses work there for 25 years? They do. Weirdest thing. Don't know what they're paying them. But I'll never forget, I ordered this plate. And the lady looked at Anna and said, your husband comes here these 20 years. He always orders the same thing. That's my one thing that God has to shake. The same thing. Now, I'm going to go order something the same this week. So I'm just letting you know, okay? Because he's not shaking that from me. But I realize in other areas, too, I'm very addicted to sameness. I don't like things changing in my surroundings. I don't. It bothers me. Even if it's God, it bothers me. So I remember coming to the Lord once and weeping and saying, this is all changing, God. Help me, Father. And I'm just, you know, going through the thing. And I felt like the Lord said, Mike, what I've called you to, you're going to see a million changes. It was like he said, so you're going to need to grow on this one. And you're going to need to let go of that dependency. It's a comfort zone. It's the same, so I'm comforted. Never changes, I'm comforted. It's like when I got invited to African missions and I had a dream that night about eating bat liver pate off bats and wearing palm branch, wearing a hula skirt or whatever it was. Freaked me out. And you know, it's funny because God's trying to lead us into things that aren't comfortable, and that's okay, because part of what dies when we get that ability to do that. And I'm really simple. If you stick me in Asia and it's frightful, if you just put a can of Mountain Dew in the fridge, I mean, I was in Cambodia, and the guys, you know, the ministers, they heard I like Mountain Dew. And they don't have, in one area, they don't have it. And it's probably a good thing. In fact, talk about changes. And I remember, though, I didn't know this, but I went into my little fridge in my room and I opened it, and it was like 7 cans of Mountain Dew. And I heard handles, you know what I mean? Hallelujah, you know what I mean? And it was like, it was going on. And I went, all is right. I'm in Asia, across the world, but there's Mountain Dew. It all feels so familiar. And I just went to bed smiling, can of Mountain Dew in my hand. That was it. That was a good night. You know, in fact, I'm going there. I'm like, Lord, I can deal with things, because the minute you come off the runway, it's jungle heat. And the minute I got in the, you know, the ramp to the plane, my buddy looks at me and goes, yeah, you felt that? I'm like, oh, gosh. And then I'm seeing these like rundown buildings, and I'm imagining this hotel room, you know, on the third level where heat rises. And I didn't say nothing, but, you know, my finger's twitching, and I'm just sitting there driving. We're actually driving about 60 miles at 11:30 at night to Sisyphon. And we pull up to this hotel, and I swear we were in the middle of nowhere. And I admit, it's consuming me. Oh, my gosh, is the room going to be 104 degrees? And I'm getting in the room, and I open the door, and Keith knows me so well. He says, Mike, there's an air conditioner on the wall, okay? So I didn't look like I was freaking out, but maybe Keith was reading it. So then I flicked on the air, opened the thing. There was Mountain Dew. It was all good. I could have been in a battle, and it would have been good. But I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. But God will shake you. He is shaking you. What I'm going to pray for as we close now, simple. It's okay to be shaken by God. The world will shake you in a different way. It's not good. But the Lord will shake you. Things will come off that need to. He will make you what you need to be. And like I said, for me, there is comfort zones. Repetitiveness is a big comfort zone for me. But sometimes that doesn't work, especially if you're going to other nations. It's not always good. Now, they joke about me and say, Mike, we can't take you to this country because there's no cell towers. That won't work. We can't take you to this country because there's no this. And there's no Skittles over here in Thailand. But it's a funny thing. But it is funny how you get to be known for, I love that which is the same. And God says, sometimes I need you to do things that are not only not the same, but that are lacking your normal comfort zone. I need you to step up. I need you to step out. I need you to break free of that stuff. So we're going to close, and I'm going to ask you this morning. What is shaking? Are you going through things? Is there stuff trying to shake off? Have you in the last year, 24 months, whatever the time, yesterday, have you lost, did God shake something off? Has it troubled you? Has his shaking revealed also vulnerable points in your walk that he wants you to shore up? Has the shaking sometimes, you know, because like I said, when God shakes, that which is real can cling on. And we learn what's important. You know, you see somebody, did you ever notice this? Somebody will have a near-death experience. And they'll have like this, I'm just so appreciative of my cat, my dog, my wife, my kids. They're just kissing everybody. Because when the mortal realm shakes, many times we can see what's important. As an early believer, especially the first year, I feared God so much because without saying it, remember, we don't say lies, we live them. We rarely state wrong doctrinal beliefs. We just express them in how we live. But I remember early on when I was a believer, God was going to shake things, and I was so resistant to the idea. I would like something, and I would fear. I would be in a conversation and hope to God somebody didn't go talk about that area. I would pray to God, and it was like, all my life is yours, Father, but this little area here, I don't trust you with it. Here's a funny thing. He is the creator of you and me. He is the creator of the universe. The Father knows what needs to shake. He knows what he wants clean. He knows. And here's my thing. Sometimes when stuff shakes off, we've got to be able to identify sometimes. God wants to give you discernment and say, that's me. Quit freaking out. It's me. Yes, it was a comfort zone, it was a whatever, but I'm taking it off. I need it off you. You don't totally understand it, kind of like the screwdriver in the socket or the knife in the hand, but what you're holding there is not good. Your trust of yourself while you hold it is even less good, and I need to shake it off. It's a vulnerability, and it's a spot that can come through. You know, I think about this pastor, and my heart goes out. Anybody in this room that has pastored, that has led, that has been a leader, I understand discouragement can come in such G-force, it feels like you had a lead sledge knock your head through a wall. I hit times of despondency that were so great, I just wept. I had to go away and sit by myself and just fall apart because I was so heavy. I hit so many, I call them extinction points, to where you're like, you're at the end of your rope, you think you are. And you're discouraged and you're plugging away and you just hope it gets better and you pray it gets better and you pray it gets better. I know what it is to be pressed against the wall. I know what it is to hit those heights, that lows where you're going, oh my gosh. But I want you to know something. Your Father loves you today. What he shakes off of you needs to be shaken. What he's also trying to shore up in you, strengthen, to bring you to that place. As this earth shakes, I believe the Christian community shakes too, and that's all right. And as everything man respects, you know, what's interesting, back in the stock crash, I believe it was in the 30s, somebody help me out. Thank you. Appreciate that. Men were jumping out of windows. I actually took a look at a boardroom, and they said there's putty holes where the bullets went through the floor or the wall. Men did kill themselves. It's funny, it was just money shaken. It wasn't eternal life. It wasn't all that we are. I had a friend, and I told the story. He committed suicide because his bank account got like $1,000 under $1 million. And he actually put a gun to his chest. And it was weird. He had this fear of how he would take care of his children. And he had a life insurance policy that they wouldn't get canceled out. Did you know that? He actually had a life insurance policy. And in his mind, what good am I under $1 million? And what good is it to my children's children if I don't have the right amount of money for them? I'll never forget, I sat with his son, and his son was so mad. Jewish family. And he said, Mike, I hate my dad. I hate him. And I said, Greg, that's not a good thing. He said, my mom died 10 years ago. And he said, my father is such a selfish, I mean, blank. He was so filled with expletives. He was not a believer. And I remember telling me, isn't it interesting that you know, in the world, and I understand people aren't saved, they don't know the Lord. And in his world, you know, his money got shaken. And actually, he wasn't broke. That's what really kills me. And his accountants, I'll never forget hearing the news, they said, Byron, he misunderstood his finances. He wasn't going under at all. He was actually starting to climb up. And his accountants said, he should have called us. Well, I don't think he wanted to call and say, hey, I'm about to commit suicide. Could you give me the figures in my accounts? Isn't it amazing in the world when things shake what the world does? But let us believers, let's stand right now. We're going to pray. If God's shaking, it's okay. If things are shaking around you, it's okay. I got a call once and somebody said, oh, the world's chaos. And as a believer, I don't know what to do. And I'm just the wars and this. What should I do? I said, well, what did you do yesterday? Well, I went to work. Well, there's a start. Go back to your job today. You know, what do you mean? Should you get in a shelter? Should you be hiding on a mountaintop saying, Lord, come get me? I said, the beautiful thing about the ethos of believers in Christ is that they weather things and they go through, and they're the one permanent in this earth. Did you know that? Did you know that Messiah will reign out of Jerusalem? I mean, not going to get into all where you're at on millennial belief or doctrine, but the thing is, I mean, it's interesting. The Lord is the one thing that is eternal. You being a son and daughter of God, that's unmovable. Isn't that interesting? We are the only solid thing in a shaking world. We're the only solid testimony, visible testimony in a world that is shaking. Might we be those people. Father, as we close today in prayer, I'm just asking that you would help us when we shake, when you shake things off, when you shake also. Sometimes, Lord, you've shaken me to where you showed me an area you wanted to strengthen in me, where you said, Mike, that needs to be shored up. You've shaken my doubt. You've shaken my striving. Lord, the beautiful thing is you will always be a consuming fire to your sons and your daughters here. Always. It is not, in fact, it is not a bad thing. You've shaken off areas of my life or comfort zones and brought godly things, amazing things that were better. What I was worried about falling off, you brought better into my life. We're your kids here this morning, and as we live day in and day out, what will you shake? Lord, I've talked to friends that really believe God is you are shaking the nation, that you are shaking our financial systems. You are shaking our pride in ourselves. You are shaking all that can be shaken. I want to thank you that I would not be the man today without the shaking of the Lord. I would not be the man I am today without the dross being taken from the silver, without the impurities being taken out of the gold. I pray this morning as we go that, Lord, we are to be strong. We don't walk in doubt. We don't want to walk around freaking out. We want to know that we can trust. We are building our lives on the rock. And as things shake, Lord, I pray one more thing. Lord, I remember being a new believer and clinging so hard, even to certain things that I just liked. I just didn't want to. I liked it. It gave me comfort. I knew it. I was familiar with it, and I would cling so hard. And I want to thank you that you took me and you know what? You shook stuff. And sometimes, Lord, I thank you that you shook it so hard that even with my vain attempts at trying to pull it back in, it was gone. And then you opened up whole new avenues of life in Messiah. It was amazing. So I'm praying today, Lord, we welcome your shaking in an earth that is as such. We welcome your shaking because the eternal things will never shake off. They're eternal. That's the word permanent comes to mind. I pray that we believers would have a confidence in right now, right here. We are not going to be shaken into oblivion. We are yours. Help us to understand in a world that is topsy-turvy. Lord, we're not ignoring the events, but I also realize that it is like a woman in childbirth, in labor. You will bring the ultimate freedom. You will deliver. That which is destructible will be gone. That which is eternal will stand. And we're okay with that, Lord. We stand today anchored and rooted in you. We ask this morning that you would give confidence. Everybody that's here right now, Lord, I've seen shaking in my own life. Heck, we're dealing with a season of some shaking now, and that's okay. Because we will take and have our faith in you alone. And it is okay. It is okay. Father, help each of us to talk to one another. Help us to, if somebody struggles with that, we need to pray. We need to come up alongside. We need to shore up our brothers and our sisters. I just pray this morning as we would go, Father, because this earth is shaking. There's a lot that's unsteady, but ultimately we are looking for a new heaven. We are looking for a new earth. We know that the shaking will go on, and it's okay. Let believers have confidence today. We are not those without hope that are perishing. We are not those with no future. In fact, we have an eternity ahead of us. And Lord, even as we dismiss, I think of my friend so long ago. In fact, he killed himself in 79. And I think back to, wow, Father, I'm convinced of far better things for we who know you. And I pray a blessing for everyone that came in this room, whatever they're dealing. And Lord, maybe it's all good, but you're just shaking certain things that are kind of falling off and that we can look and say, Lord, you know what? That's like that knife in the hand of a baby or the screwdriver. That object in itself could cause problems. Okay, take it out of my hand. Shake it. I'll let it go. I'll quit clinging to it. I don't need it. I don't need it. I need you. Blessings as we go today. Might we have the supreme confidence, trusting a faithful Creator in doing what is right. That's where we stand today. That's where we're going to leave. That's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to dwell, in the name above all names. Amen. God bless everyone. Thank you so much for coming out today.